Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tran. Han, how are you?
I am doing fabulous, Jim. Just fabulous. How are you?
Excellent. Doing much better. Had an unbelievable upper respiratory that really put me down last week. I lost my voice. And it's hard to find your voice after you lose it. But thankfully, it's back. And we're back. And tonight is number 50. Amazing. 50 shows. You know, over the last 49 shows, Han and I, you know, we've tried everything to help clarify, explain, and basically assist in, you know, give knowledge about everything that has to do with dental office design. So tonight's show is, it fittingly, we think, is to continue that same direction. So first of all, we're going to have a pretty lively discussion about some of the topics that are happening on Dentaltown, because obviously they must be important to you, our listeners in the dental community, if people take the time to put it on the Dentaltown and then have a discussion about it. So we're gonna give you our 2 cents, 1 cent from me and 1 cent from Han. So that's what's going to happen, and we're going to have a bunch of some announcements and some of the upcoming things that we've got going on, and then hopefully we'll get a chance to hear from a special guest if he's able to call in towards the end of the show. That'll be kind of like the icing on the cake. But from an announcement standpoint, Han, I think the big announcement, the cool thing that we've just started, is to all you folks that have or get involved or look at YouTube. We've started our HJT Design YouTube channel. So it's up and running. It's launched, ready for any and all to look at it. And on that channel, you will find every past episode of Straight Talk. So they're all there in sequential order with titles and descriptions and all that kind of good stuff. So you can search down through them, and it gives you another avenue, another venue to be able to listen to what we've talked about over the last 49 and then after tonight, the last 50 shows. So that's out there. Now, also, hey, Han, go ahead.
Jim, what do they look under?
Just type in HJT Design, and we are right there on top. Matter of fact,
there
I think
you
can just type in HJT, and you'll see it right there. So the other thing is that some of the future cool things is we are right now in production of some dental design video pieces that will also be placed on that YouTube channel for everyone to view, and it'll obviously have graphics and audio and all the kind of cool stuff that you can do on video that you really can't do on radio. So that's going to be forthcoming, and we will, of course, announce that and maybe even send out emails for when those come up and what happen. At the same time, we're also looking to start some design conferences. Those will be recorded, videoed, and also placed on that YouTube channel. So that YouTube channel is going to become a busy avenue for a lot of the things that we do. So both Han and I, and of course Bill, are very excited about this, and it just gives everyone another opportunity. Han, you were going to say something?
Well, I think the good thing about YouTube is, we don't necessarily have to, let me see, if there's pictures of us, okay, that's including the graphics and stuff like that, our pictures on that Photoshop were easy to look at, okay, so that's a good thing.
It's
okay.
Real.
Yeah, we just don't have just a radio voice, okay? I think it would give listener a wider venue or more multiple resource that could work with their schedules and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Well, and the big thing that we're extremely excited about is that graphically, when we talk about when you, Han, and I, we talk about things like, you know, you want to look at this in regards to your reception desk, and you want to look at the distance from the front door, and you want to look at this on your site specifically. Graphically, we'll be able to show that in a drawing or a rendering or a picture to help. You know, what's the old verbiage, Han? A picture's worth 1,000 words?
Or at least a couple of thousand. Yeah.
Yeah, at least a couple thousand. So I know both you and I can talk a lot, but at the same time, you know, a picture can do it a lot quicker and hopefully even be able to better communicate what point we're trying to get across. And so that's why these design videos a series that we're in production on that we want to get out and start getting to everybody is going to be, in our mind, a very useful tool. Now, obviously, this is all about helping to educate, helping to solve your problems. But there's not a one fix for every particular problem. It's not a silver bullet. Yeah, that's a good verb. It's, you know, it's not a silver bullet, but at the same time, there are things that are in common to every dental office. There are areas, at least gives you opportunities to think about or pieces and parts to think about that are crucial to maybe what you're trying to accomplish. And to that end, the next thing that is really, I don't want to toot our own horn, but at the same time, I think it's important to let our listeners know that, you know, go to our website, hjtdesign.com. There is just a pile of useful information on that website. Now, we're in process of hopefully revamping that website to make it even easier for you to find all the stuff that's on there. But, you know, there's design tips from HJT Han Tran, the world famous Han Tran, right? You've got design tips that are there. It's free. All you have to do is sign up for it, and you'll get all that information. There's a whole section on the blog section, over and over and over. It, you know, I want to say it's an extension of, but it's different than what you see in Dental Town. But there is a complete section on the blog that talks about just a pile of different questions and thoughts and areas. It's all there for free. You can get it, look at it at your leisure, if you know, in the evening, in the morning, whatever works with your schedule. It's there, it's available to you. You can download our office design and construction process manual, a very useful online book, pamphlet, whatever you want to call it. It's multiple pages. It's pretty easy to read. It's got lots of great pictures, but it's a very useful process manual to help you work through this. I mean, Han, how many times do we talk about the process? How many times do we talk about the manual? And this is a useful guide. If you're thinking about doing something, you should download that thing and at least look through it.
Let me interject a little, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose, and I think to be honest, we do, you know, we put together the Straight Talk radio program with a couple objectives. One, we enjoy sharing knowledge, okay, and you can't take it to the grave with you. So we just want to let the world to know what we know. Secondly, is that we. For us, selfishly, is that when we have a client that are well informed, it's an absolute pleasure to work with. So the main thing is, the more you know, the more informed you are, the better decision you make for yourself. At the same time, when you are informed, we spend less time holding your hands. We will anyway, but a lot less. And it makes so that, and by not having to hold your hands, we are able to focus on the important stuff, the design, executing the ideas and stuff like that to make the practice that you have been, you know, aspired to have. So the whole objective is to educate so that you can become informed decision maker, and that help us, that help you. And that's basically the crux of it. Jim?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not because Han and I are selfish and we want to have clients that are easy to work with. I mean, that's not the case. What it does do is it really saves you money. When we come down to it, if you have a lot of the knowledge that you need to be able to make decisions already in place, then you don't have to wait for us to go through that with you and spend more time on it and help you get through all that point. We'll do that. We gladly do that. We don't have a problem doing that. But the faster we can get it done, the less it costs you. Because as we've talked about before, we don't have a generic, you know, that's our fee and it is our fee, take it or leave it, no matter what the service you get. That's not how we work. Our fees are based upon the work that we do and how much time we're going to spend with you. You can say, hey, Han, I need you for a lot of time. That's fine. You can do that. And of course, you know, Han's going to charge you for that time, just like you as a dentist charge for your time. If it takes, you know, so much time to do that particular procedure and you need seven of them done, you charge them seven times. That's just what it is. But yeah, that's really in a nutshell why we created it, Straight Talk, just another avenue. Why we've created the YouTube channel now, HJT Design YouTube channel, another avenue to be able to get the information out there.
And Straight Talk, you know, there's a good guy, bad guy type of scenario that I get a little heavy-handed, and Jim tried to be nice. Okay.
Now wait a minute. I can be a bad cop if I need to be.
Yeah, but the whole main thing is that, you know, we have not have a client that come to us and say, please talk nice to me because I'm delicate. Most of our clients come to us and they say, I have problems that I haven't figured out to solve, and let's talk and see what, you know, what you can bring, what value you can bring to this discussion. So I assume that you plug in because you like to hear straight. No sugarcoating is necessary.
Well, that is true. And that is something that, you know, they teach you this in architecture school. Never say the word guarantee, because you can't guarantee anything. Well, I can guarantee you this. You will get an unbiased, straight answer from Han and I. Guaranteed. Because we have no qualms whatsoever telling you what we think should be done or what this particular answer might be to solve your problem. We'll give you the reasoning why when we do that, but it's not our decision to make. It is actually your decision to make, and that's how we practice. But I can guarantee you will get those comments, and that's what we pride ourselves on, because we're not here to sell a series of widgets. We're not here to sell a series of designs or pieces of equipment or a system or whatever you want to say. We don't sell that. We provide a service that solves your problems, a solution-based system and a process. Now, there's a couple other cool things that are on that website that some people may not know about, and they're there. You know, you can go on and schedule a free design consult. You can get a consult with just either one of us, with both of us. You can pick a particular time. You can do just a pile of things, and it's free. So if you have a specific question that you want Han to answer, you can do that. Or you want something from me, you can do that. Matter of fact, if you want something from Bill, you can do that too. So it's there. It's available. Use that resource if you'd like. Now, another thing that we haven't advertised, and it's going to be coming out in our newest, but I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, is send us your floor plan for a second opinion. And I'm going to credit Han with this one because he's the one that came up with it. If you want a second opinion, send it to us. We'll look at it. We'll give you the straight review, and you can do with it what you feel. Again, just like anything, it's your design. It's your decision to make. We'll give you what we think. Now, hopefully, you might take some of our advice. You may say, you know, these guys really know what they're doing, and I just want to hire them to do the work or whatever. That's really not our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to improve everything that's out there. So, but that's out there as well. So you can do that. Look for a spot on our website, especially the upcoming revamped one, that you'll be able to do that. You can click on it, download a website, or download a floor plan to our website, and we'll look at it. For now, you can email us, call us, email us, and you know Han and I will both look at it, or Han will look at it, or if you want me to look at it, we'll do either, won't we, Han?
Somebody will look at it. Okay. Let me give you a disclaimer.
Well, that's
a disclaimer.
Cool thing about it. When you say somebody, it's you or me or Bill. You're not going to get passed off to the junior associate, such and such, fifth man or fifth woman down the totem pole.
We're not going to send it to Russia. Okay. We're not going to send it to China. We're going to do it right here.
Yeah, we're not going to send it to India and have Bob look at it, you know, like they do on all the support calls for anything that you have technical, right?
All right. Okay. We need to offer an apology to listeners that are of those ethnic groups. Okay.
Right.
We're just
nothing
kidding
wrong,
about,
nothing
we're
wrong
kidding
with that.
That.
But you know, you are talking with the people, you and I, and Bill, who will be the people that will be solving your problems. It doesn't get passed down the chain. So that's
now,
it. That's
let
the point.
Me offer,
yeah.
Yeah. Let me offer a disclaimer. Okay. We didn't offer the second opinion, a design opinion, so that you would jump ship and come on to our boat. Okay. Because we see things every dentist look at a case differently than the other guy. That rule applied to us as well. Okay. We have architects that we service because they don't know what we don't. Right? Now I'm not patting ourselves on the back tonight. It's you have to be smart enough to know your limits. And so we service not just dental clients, we service architects as well. So when we say we will give you a second opinion, that's simply that. You have, if you're working with somebody, and they could be the world's greatest designer or architect, whatever the case is that they tell you, send your plan. We'll take a look at, we'll give you our take, and we send you on your way. No string attached, okay? If you decide to, bring us on board as part of your team, we will welcome that as well. But the whole intention is to give you a second opinion, no more, no less. Jim?
Exactly. Very good, very good. Well, with that, you know, that's a lot of the cool announcements, a lot of the upcoming stuff. I mean, hopefully the next 50 shows are going to be just as exciting and informative as what we've done in the last 49 shows. But let's jump into tonight's topic, Han. What you were sharing with me some of the things that you wanted to talk about tonight. Let's take the first one. You had mentioned that there was one trending comment on Dentaltown that you found pretty interesting. What was that one?
Yeah, this is a topic that I see from time to time, and in the recent weeks, in fact, including what's on our, you know, on our project list, is practices that are expanding in place. In other words, they could be a condo, you know, a practice within a condo unit, and the adjacent unit become available. Now, whether it's a lease space or an ownership, it's basically the same. The advantage of owning your own is that you can do pretty much what you want within, of course, within the guideline of the condo association and whatever. But the expanding into the adjacent space have become a pretty active subject lately. And like I say, we have a few of those projects on our table as well. So where do you start? And I think I would like to take it back to when you had the initial conversation with whoever designed it for you, whether it is done by a supply company, a designer, or an architect. It's not that important, but take it back to that initial conversation. And at the same time, when you are leasing the space, what was your intention? Okay, very few practices lease space for 5 years and then vacate. They're usually there 10 years or longer. So, you know, because every time that you relocate and move your practice, it's a pain in the butt. It's costly, too. It's very disruptive. So if you are in a space and you're going to be there, not necessarily forever, but pretty darn close to it, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, part of your thinking or mindset is when I max out the capacity of this space and I need to expand, how do I expand? Okay? And that's important. Is that you have to look at not just what I need right now, that's important, but what do I do when I exceed this need and need to have more space? At that point, it would be a shame to come to the conclusion that, oops, I didn't plan for expansion. And it would be absolutely chaotic and too disruptive, and it does not make economic sense to do so. Therefore, the next best thing is to relocate. Okay? Of course, you know, you have to plan. Because I've seen this all the time, that we told so-and-so who designed for us that we're going to expand in the future, and here we are. And now, most architects spend some of their career life doing expansion to existing building in some form or another. I can only speak for myself, and I think Jim probably embraced this too. I love the forensic work, okay, because there's so much history. There's so many things that could go wrong. But it really, really pushes you as an architect, as a designer, as a thinker and problem solver to the extreme so that you make the right move, the most logical decision that creates as few disruption and cost as little as possible. So you work way out of the box when you're looking at expanding an existing space into the next adjacent space. Okay, so like I say, it's that discussion should start at the very beginning when you start to design your initial office. And that would make, that would give you, whether it's 5 or 10 years down the road, when that moment comes, you know exactly where and how things are going to look like. In other words, you may not know exactly how you're going to, how big, how long you get to the next point where you say, I'm going to really expand. But when you sit down and have the initial plan of your office, whether it's a brand new building or a brand new space within a retail or condo suite, you should have your future expansion also block out. When I say block out, I mean where the room's going to be. You don't need all the detail of where the doors and what have you, but at least you have a footprint of what where things is going to be. So that way there is a thing we call a knockout panel. Okay. It's a, this is where I knock this out and continue the corridor. Or this is where, this is where this window or this door got to go because of this expansion. So you have a process that you go through so that, the expansion doesn't create so much disruption. It doesn't have too many questions. You have a basically like a roadmap. The second to the worst scenario, the worst scenario is I don't know because we never talked about it. The second worst scenario is simply expand into this space, and there is nothing that have been laid out or even identified. So it's, again, you might as well have nothing, okay? What I'm trying to say is to encourage you that this discussions of future expansion should start at the very first conversation that you have about expanding, about your future practice, okay? It's very important that you have that discussion early on. So anyway, right. If you don't have that conversation, then this is where the real fun starts.
It gets more complicated. Let's put it that way.
Yes, it gets very complicated.
It gets very complicated. Now, well, we call that a master plan. Bottom line is if you master plan this thing in the beginning, life down the road can be easier than if you all of a sudden, the next door neighbor is moving out. There's 1,200 extra square feet that I could use. How many operatories can I get in there? Because I'm working my tail off, and I'm not seeing my patients fast enough, and I need more room because I want to get more associates and I want to get more doctors working me, and my hygiene is way understaffed, and I need more of them. So, how do I do it? Well, you can react as a reactionary kind of, or you can pre-plan. And Han, you're obviously advocating pre-planning. This is a perfect question. I'm as we're talking here, I'm thinking to myself, how we want to show this visually on the YouTube video design session, because it's perfect. To visually show the people that are listening what you should think about and how you should think about it. It's just a natural kind of thing. Would be so much easier to get that information in your hands. So that's going to be an exciting new addition to what we're doing. But, Han, there are so many other factors when you're talking about taking on the next door neighbor property, whether it's a retail center, like you say, or a condo or something like that. The big thing is this disruption to the practice. That's huge.
Yes, it's huge because I think the majority of our client who is planning expansion, the common denominator I want to stay in practice and I want as little disruption as possible, but I like my office to be pretty much like everything looked like it was designed as a single office. I go, I got magic, okay, but my magic don't do that kind of magic. Your office, your practice going to experience disruption. It's going to experience noise. It's going to experience a number of things. Now, the quantity of that disruption or the severity of that disruption contingent on what did you plan 5 or 10 years ago? Okay? Because you can plan the level of disruption if you do proper master planning. So that way you can say, okay, we in fact we have a project under construction right now. It was planned for future expansion. Okay, two options at one end of the building and the other end of the building. So the infrastructure, the utilities are put in place for that future expansion, if and when that happens. So if you are planning an office with the intention to stay there and expand in place, that is one of the things you've got to have the discussion in. So that way the utilities, the infrastructure for the utility are put in where it needs to be so that when you expand, it can continue rather than rework. That makes sense?
Well, okay. It makes a lot of sense, Han, and it's a whole lot cheaper. You're talking about spending a few more pennies today to stub up for the utilities to a certain point, knowing that they will be expanded, to spending thousands and thousands of dollars later to rework things. So, you know, that, and that's just one area of the disruption. It's impractical to think, I mean, most renovations and or additions, you're talking about months worth of work, not days worth of work. So
that's right.
Think about months worth of work. You're not going to shut your practice down for several months. That would be disastrous from a financial standpoint. And so, you know, how do you have to design this or create this in such a way that it all works? And you can't say, well, only do it on the weekend. How long is that going to take? Well, a year?
Forever.
Yeah. And then you're living with the mess that happens. Construction is a messy business. It's messy, and it's dirty. Plus, it's difficult, and it always causes a lot of stuff to happen. So, and if you're moving into an adjacent space, like if you're in a retail center, you're more than likely cutting up the floor. Well, how do you do that? You do that with a concrete saw. That's one of the messiest, dirtiest tools out there. I mean, and noisy. But, you know, it's just a messy business. So you got to, it all has to be thought about and planned for, let alone the disruption and the planning. So proper planning, master planning, easy, inexpensive, upfront investment could save you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars down the road. Now, Han, if someone came to you and said, I screwed up, I didn't do my master planning, but I need to expand into this adjacent 2,000 square foot space. Can you do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer is always yes, but yeah. But you have to come with a realistic expectation. Okay. For instance, if you say you are in a 1,500 square feet space, and you have the opportunity to take on another 1,500 square feet, 1,500 or 2,000 square feet, and you say, you know, I need an additional 6 or 7 treatment room to go into that 2,000 square feet space. I would have to tell you, realistically, this is straight talk, okay? Buying another space.
That may be what you tell them, right?
I do, okay?
Yeah.
Because honestly, I have a PhD in fitting 15 pounds of stuff into a 10-pound bag. But I can't do it every day, okay? So realistically, you have to come with a mindset that what is the optimal that I can fit to this. And again, back to the original discussion is from the early on. Okay, what is it that you are able to you know, to handle, to manage? What is the maximum size of practice you want to own and run when you come to that point? And you have to plan around that. You can always pull back, but you can't expand when you don't, you have not planned to, you know, to meet that business requirement. Okay, so we can, yes, we can always make things work, but it may not work the way you want because of the limitation of the initial design and limitation of the space. If you come, if you already, you know, if you're in a space and you got your adjacent space that you're going to expand into at some weird configuration, the efficiency of how you use it is going to be less. Okay, so start out with a really plain rectangular shape space. Start with that. That will give you the optimal usage. Because there's nothing sexy about angle walls that cost you a ton and give you so little value. They look great on paper, okay? But start out with this simple, plain, rectangular configuration of a space, and then plan the future expansion. Have it laid out. Have it laid out so that way you know. But the main thing is when you expand to the adjacent space, it depends on how the space that you have are laid out. We've seen it where, you know, a brand new building built with the intention for expansion, future expansion, but the layout of the space didn't relay that intention for future expansion. So it was compromised. The expansion was compromised because of the lack of planning. It just simply, we got, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 square feet space that we're going to expand into in the future. Here it is. But there is nothing that tells them where and how. And it's a shame when we see that kind of stuff. Okay. You have to, if you want to maximize and get the best out of the expansion, of the merging the two space, you have to sometimes swallow hard and say, this is makes sense. I have to shut it down for a period of time to do this because I didn't do it right to start out. Or you may have a merge office that have looked like it was two practices where you're just punching a hole in the wall. It looked odd, but you know, those are decisions that you have to make once your design team present their case, present the possibilities of how things are done. You know, make sure that you work with a team or a group that are knowledgeable about this kind of stuff. Okay, not just simply we can do this for free. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think we've definitely covered a good aspect of that topic, and obviously we could do the whole show on just that topic if we wanted to. What other topic did you have that you wanted to share, hon?
Well, once in a while, this topic just kind of creep up on the discussion board. And you have the same character that basically regurgitate the same thing. I like to think design, and construction is one of those areas that it's an option. Okay, there isn't anybody like you said. There isn't anybody that owns the patent or exclusive right to that silver bullet that everything works. Cabinetry is one of those options. It depends on where you are in your career, whether it's whether it's an office that you rent, or a building you're going to build because you own the real estate and you're going to own the building. But it depends on what what value you want to get out of that investment in the cabinetries. okay? If you, let's say if you are leasing the space and you're going to be there for, say, 10 years, you know, and if you have the resource and you really, really like the stuff that I made by, you know, the big manufacturer like ADEC and so on, they make good products, okay? And you want that, and you want to invest into that. You feel it's a good investment that you can take with you wherever you go. More power to you, okay? But there's others that may not want to do that. And so what's the option? You have your modular, and the guys who make the modular cabinetry will tell you they are the best. Well, they do have the right to their own opinion. You have those that are there's custom, you know, custom cabinet shops. They make everything just the way you like them, okay? Just the way you want them. You have more choices. Our experience is again. Let me rephrase this. We're not married to any shop. We're not married to any supplier. So what we share with you is strictly based on our experience and based on our exposures. And there's nobody that's going to send us a check for we mentioned their name or anything like that. We don't endorse.
Well, actually, Han, that's against the law. I could lose my license. but, you know, and I think it's a very important point that you brought out. We don't have a horse in the race on this. It is not. You know, it is not. You're going to get a very unbiased opinion, in the sense that we can do custom cabinetry, we can do the IKEA route, we can do the whatever manufacturer route that you like. I mean, crap! If you want stuff from five different manufacturers, that can be done as well. I mean, it could be one from each one of them and put it all together to make it work. So you've got total flexibility in all your cabinetry, which is, I think, a great opportunity for you to get whatever you would like. I mean, custom cabinetry can be fantastic. You can spend a little bit of money. You can spend a lot of bit of money. But custom cabinetry, if done right, can be very attractive, very useful, very efficient, but at the same time can be costly. But it's all a matter of what you do to it, right?
Yep. And you know what? The cool thing, in my opinion, about custom cabinetry is that you can pick and choose down to the screws that you want to use. All right? Because we deal with this all the time. And when you have modular stuff that I made, it's limited to, would you like it 18 inches, 24 inches, 36 inches, or 48? All right, there's your choice. You can't have it anywhere in between. You have less flexibility. You have less flexibility in the choices of finishes. Less flexibility in the choice of colors and what have you. When you go to custom, the world's your oyster. You can pick and choose everything, okay, as long as you're willing to pay for it. But it doesn't necessarily have to be outrageously expensive. You can have some very, very unique design that nobody else have for a fraction of the so-called modular or dental cabinetry, okay? But it requires a little research. It requires a little bit asking, checking around. When I get involved in discussions, I'm pretty practical. It's not about selling it. It's about giving you the information so you make the right choice. The discussion often involved in people that say, we make the best, everything else sucks. And I just find that to be very, disingenuous. For instance, IKEA is a topic that's discussed all the time, and because you know, sometimes a lot, you know, some of the dentists are young guys and gals that are hands-on. They enjoy. Yeah, they can hire somebody to do it cheap for them, but they may enjoy the gratification of putting stuff together themselves. You know, IKEA didn't become a multi-billion-dollar company because they sell crap, okay? And the criticisms often come from manufacturers that produce a fraction of what IKEA makes. It's having choices, having options based on what your needs are. And I find that it's a refreshing thing to have. You can either have, you know, you can, in fact, if you're handy enough and you have your own tools and stuff like that, you can make your own custom cabinet if you want to, and it's a choice. So there is, in my opinion, there is not a, you know, a one-stop shop that can do everything. There may be, okay? But I find when people say we're the greatest because you know, we're the greatest, it just, I run away from them. Right, Jim?
Well, the thing about the modular cabinetry, for example, like the IKEA and others that are out there, is that, you know, that might be the perfect kind of cabinetry for your startup practice. You
yeah.
get an idea of what it's like, you know, you kind of figure out what you like and don't like. And then when you decide to move up and move to the next practice or build the second practice, then you already have that knowledge and database behind you. And you can say, all right, I'm done with that. I've been there for 8-10 years. It's time to move to the next level. Then, you know, maybe it makes sense to then go to a more customized cabinetry package. It kind of has a timing factor involved as much as it does a cost factor. And especially if you're leasing. I mean, if you're leasing versus owning, if you're leasing something, you know, that stuff is there. Once you put it in, you don't get to take it with you. When you leave,
but
it's a tenant improvement that stays. So you got to look at it from that aspect as well.
We have that discussion also. You know, what can you take? What do you have to keep? Now, before I get into that, Jim, we have worked with clients who are building their, you know, when you build your own brand new building from the ground up, usually they are pretty close to your forever office, and they choose to go with IKEA. Okay, here's the logic, at least for me anyway. If you buy a dental specific equipment and it costs you 3 times as much as custom, or it costs you 4 or 5 times as much as IKEA. All right. Now it has very similar function, but let's say it lasts you 10 years. In 10 years, you can replace it and still have change left compared
yeah,
to
still
buying
ahead.
The big.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
As long as you go into it with that understanding that, you know, that material won't last as long as something that is designed and specifically created custom-wise. I mean, custom will last always much longer than something like pre-manufactured or modular, unless you go with the high-end pre-manufactured modular medical dental equipment stuff, which is much more costly. You know, that stuff is built as well, like a tank, and it will last a long, long time. It may last so long that you get tired of looking at it, right? We've had that, haven't we?
Well, yeah. It grow ugly on you. I think that's the term, okay? They are so well built, they grow ugly. And I think we have to I think we have to tread on that one a little bit cautiously. Is that I have worked with dental-specific cabinetry that are, you know, the, let's say the drawers and stuff like that are metal, so they have high-quality hardware and stuff like that. But the body are no different than any other cabinets are made out of MDF. Okay, so it's the quality may be nothing more than the name. The warranty is no more than the general contractor warranty of a year, maybe two or maybe three. Okay, so I think it's, you have to look at it from functionality and from the economic aspect of it, is that what do you want to invest and what value do you want from it, not just simply a name. Your patient's not going to come into the office and say, wow, you invest into XYZ, okay? They're not going to. They just look and say, is it clean? You know, that's about it. Okay.
And can you do this without making it hurt?
Yeah. So you know,
that's what
it's
I
about,
do every time
I
go into dentist.
Yeah. I haven't, you know, I mean, you go into your doctor's office, your dentist's office, and you say, oh, they got new carpeting, that's nice. Okay, but other than that, don't hurt me. Okay.
Right.
And make sure my bill is not too high. You know? So yeah, it's cabinetry just happened to be one of those topics that I discuss a lot, and I find it's a lot of time it's too much. There's just too much selling on it. Is that those who have a lot to gain by pushing their brand don't give the readers or the participant the kind of information that allow them to make the best, you know, the best informed choices. And that's that, you know, to me that is a unfortunate discussion, because the motive of their input isn't where it need to be, because they're busy, a little too busy selling their wares. But yeah, I mean, IKEA is a good product. They often the criticism is often about how safe it is and so on. Well, if you have a cabinet on the wall, let's say your home, because IKEA, their main market is residential, okay? But if you have in your office, you may have wall cabinets that are filled with very light appliances. Appliances, you know, the products, the gauzes and stuff like that. But at home, you might stack those stinking wall cabinet with, you know, 24, you know, dinner serving, you know, stack of plates and pots and pans and cups and all that stuff. It's a lot heavier, and it stays on the wall for years, decades. So the argument about, you know, the company make cheap stuff, I don't buy it, and I'm a consumer, okay? Now they too many people use scare tactics to push their wear. It's unfortunate. But
well, actually, Han, you're a very educated consumer, because being in the trade that we are, we look at the quality of the stuff and how it's going to perform, because that's what we do as part of our profession. You want to look at the quality of the product and how it's going to perform over time in that scenario for what it's being used for. So yeah, your opinion is not that of just a simple consumer. Your opinion is of a professional that does this for a living. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's very true. You know, when I go out and look at stuff like that, I'm a little bit short of pick it up and bite into it just to check it's real.
Is this made
that
out of real
okay.
stuff? Well, we've got about 8 minutes left. Do you have another topic that you want to talk about in the next 8 minutes?
Yes,
okay.
I do. Okay, I do. And this is often things are posed for discussion or critique, and this is mainly for the for the Dentaltown crowd. So that you as a listener get the best value, the best input on the things that you post that pertain to design of your space, is that get involved. I mean, what I mean by that is don't just simply throw a plan of a space with four empty walls and go, what do you think? All right, once in a while you catch me on a bad day, I don't have too many of those. I would tell you honestly, it sucked because there's nothing there to critique. It's a waste of everybody's time. So when you post things, have some idea what it is that you want. Have some idea what it is that you want to discuss. Have some idea what you like and don't like. So that way you get the best out of everyone that's participating. Okay? It's simply you're not coming to a forum and ask somebody to design for you. You're coming to a forum to ask others who have been through what you are embarking on or those who are helping those, solving those spatial problems, stuff like that, so that as a community, they can improve, they can answer you, they can give you insight, and they can give you their experience so that you can walk away more informed than simply just throw it on the wall and hope it sticks and just become a wall. Okay, it's a very unfortunate thing that people do not take a proactive approach to things that they need answer for. Because when you post it without any any forethought an empty space is an empty space, so there's nothing to really critique except, hey, you got only one big room, okay? Take advantage of the resource that's available because I think there's an old saying that experience, other people's experience is the best teacher. No, I hope it's your experience is the best teacher because what you learn, what you had endure and you don't learn from it, that would be a bad thing. So those who are willing to share their journey, their mistakes, their opinion, their idea, so that way you can take and consume and digest and utilize, get involved. Be proactive. If there's a question, they ask questions so that they know what you have in your mind, what you're thinking, so they can get, a better idea how to respond to the questions or to the design. I ask a lot of questions. I'm very curious, but I'm curious with a purpose. My purpose is to understand what it is I'm looking at and what kind of problem do I want to solve. Or what kind of problem, what kind of information I can offer so that the poster can walk away with more value than they originally came to. And I think a lot of the people that are contributing to the site share similar similar sentiment. Mm-hmm. Those who don't have widgets to sell, that is. Okay.
Right. Well, I think you hit an important point in that if you take the time to educate yourself, you will actually get a better solution for your problem because you've already gone through the educational process. We as humans can only take in so much at a given time, and then you get overload. They call that sensory overload. And your body, yeah. Your mind, it doesn't absorb anything. And so we can have so much info and we can keep throwing it at you over and over and over again, so much of it to the point of it, all of a sudden you get filled up and it's done. I can't take any more in. I can't think about that stuff. And then you miss some critical things. So by hiring a seasoned professional like ourselves to help walk you through that, that's very important. You've got to do that. But at the same time, you can take it upon yourself to become educated about what you're trying to accomplish. And we'll help you through that. And that's why one of the reasons why we're doing these shows and putting out all this information, because it's there to help you become more educated on what you need to think about, so that when the questions that Han and I are going to be asking, specifically Han, when we're dealing with the design aspects, you'll have an understanding and you'll be able to get through those and actually, again, get a much better solution at the end of things. And that's very crucial, because I guess, Han, when I look at you and I mean, we're one thing and only one thing. We're problem solvers. We solve problems. I really look at that in my profession. I mean, I've been doing this for, 30-plus years, going on 35 years. And, you know, it's just been one level after another of problem solving and how best to solve the particular problems. First, you've got to identify it. Most people don't understand the process of actually solving a problem. First, you've got to identify the problem. What is the problem? If you don't know what the problem is, you got no chance of solving it, and let alone solving it successfully in such a way that it will work perfectly for you in the future. So you got to identify that problem. You then have to come up with options, and there are going to be more than one. Do not ever think that there is only one way to solve a particular problem, because there's not. So you identify the problem, you solve the problem with potentially multiple options, and then you evaluate those options with the whole criteria, and we could do a whole show on that, and then you pick the solution based upon that. And there's little problems and little things that have to be solved in a design, and then there's the whole grand scheme or the whole plan that has to be looked at in that same way. So it is a complicated process, and you could easily get overloaded very quickly on a little minutia. What do we like to say, Han? Let us sweat the details.
Yep. And really, it's that the working with design professional and people with the experience that's necessary is that, yes, we solve problems, okay? That problem solving process and execution of it should not create other problems.
Yeah.
Okay. There should not be side effects like magic or like new medicine. Okay. So I think I joke about it from time to time, is that we are problem solving or solvers. Our patient is buildings, okay? Some buildings are more sick than others, and we go through the same process. Let's do the X-ray, okay? Let's look and see what is the root cause of the problem, and how do we solve it? And then we go through the treatment plan just like what you do with your patient. So in a nutshell, we are building, we are doctors of buildings. Fun. Some of them are very problematic. Okay. Some are very complicated. But that's just part of the, that's part of the work. Get educated on the things that you need, and find the people that can help you, meet that objective. Okay. Yeah. And one of them will be us.
Like I thought, Ron, there's no way we were going to get through 10 questions, because there's just not enough time in an hour.
Right.
And we'll obviously hit a lot more of those questions on the upcoming shows. I mean, we're glad that you had a chance to spend our 50th show with us. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to the next 50 and all the exciting, cool things that we talked about that we just initiated and what's coming out in the future. There's just a lot of exciting. I mean, it's an exciting time in dentistry, specifically dental design, because everybody is busy and people are doing things. Contractors are busy. Offices are being remodeled. New buildings are being built, not just dental buildings, but other buildings across the country. And the economy is doing very well and continuing to do well. And the future looks very bright. And so if you're thinking about it, and it might be time to really be serious about this and say, you know, I need to do something. Feel free. Give us a call. We're here. We're a resource. Use this as that. We'll give you the straight scoop. We'll give you our straight opinion. And we won't tell you what you want to hear. We'll tell you what the facts are and then help you work through them. Won't we, hon?
That's right. That's the only way that we know how to work.
I don't know how to do it any other way, and I won't. So that's the kind of way. We'd rather lose a client by telling them the truth than keeping them by telling them a falsity that they down the road find out was not really what really happens. That doesn't work that way. Not with us.
And really, we don't make any apologies for being who we are.
I like that. Well, again, thank you for being part of the show, part of number 50. We'll get our special guest on hopefully the next show or two and be able to have that information as part of what we're going to be giving you in the next 50 shows. So with that, thank you. And Han, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I have fun. I appreciate you tuning in and spending the last hour with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.